I'd like for us tonight to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 21. We have an old saying that we should learn from our mistakes. And we can also learn from the mistakes of others. And tonight, as we look at John 21, we selected Peter as a person that made some mistakes in his life. All of us do. But this particular mistake he made was one I think that is fairly common for us to make that mistake even today. There's so much in Scripture that reminds us that a believer's life should be lived sacrificially. We esteem our brothers and sisters in Christ better than we do ourselves. We look out for the best interest of others. I have to say, I don't think Peter had any idea that what he did would be used as effectively as it has been used as a warning to us. We're all familiar with how active the flesh can be. It's a constant threat. So with that in view, I'd like to read just a few verses here in this 21st chapter, and then we'll look a little further in John's Gospel and see if we can't draw something that will be beneficial to us. John chapter 21, and let's start reading from, well, let's read from the very first verse down through 14. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. This, of course, is after the crucifixion, it's after the resurrection, and it leads into an experience that our Lord drew from Peter's experience, and we'll see that as we go along. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on the outer garment, for he had removed it, plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it in bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. That sets the scene for what is about to happen. You know, I heard a fellow say here one time about this account of the Lord fixing the breakfast with the fish. He said, I have never considered fish to be a breakfast dish, but if the Lord prepares it, I'll eat it. So, I don't know, maybe in some places the custom is that you have fish for breakfast. Ordinarily, we think about bacon and eggs and cereal and all that stuff. But this sets a scene for us in which the Lord Jesus is going to have some special talks with Peter. That brings us to what I'm about to get into about learning from someone else's mistakes. Peter did make a few blunders in his time, and we're acquainted with it. Maybe not as many as we've made, but he made some. Verses 15 through 17 give us an account of three questions that the Lord put to Peter. He also gives us three replies that Peter gave to the Lord. And then there's that threefold application of what has been discussed. So that more or less helps us to understand exactly what we're going to consider here this evening. As a prelude to that, something was brought to my attention as I read this that sometimes we may overlook. When we think about Peter's denial, some people say, I'm outraged at the thought that a man like Peter would deny the Lord. And I've had it brought to my attention, how outraged are we at the thought that many times we have denied the Lord? We're focusing upon Peter, but I don't think it excuses us. We have to make an admission at the very outset that I've done the same thing. You say, well, I wouldn't consider perhaps our denial of the Lord and not speaking to someone or something of that nature, I wouldn't compare it with the kind of denials that Peter made. What I discovered was something that I have a great admiration for Peter. He's a very human person. Does that make sense? He's a very human person. His humanity shines. Go back to the 13th chapter of this same gospel, and we're going to look at just a mention of Peter's denial foretold. In the 36th verse of the 13th chapter, it says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. This is the beginning of Peter's commitment to something that we think at this point maybe you're being a little frivolous in what you're saying. You don't know what you're talking about. But as we go along, you're going to find out that what Peter said he meant. He wasn't fooling around. This man, what he says, he fully intends to do. Don't forget that. Peter said, in response, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. I'm not sure that took hold. I'm not sure he understood that part of the conversation about the crowing of the rooster and him denying the Lord. He couldn't get that in perspective because we're looking forward in time when we examine this, and what is going to happen is yet in the future. But our Lord provides us with that insight into Peter's denial being foretold. Now, in the 18th chapter, let's look there for a moment. 18th chapter. And let's begin at, verse 8. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. He identifies himself. If ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Now remember, this is after Judas has betrayed the Lord. We have standing here the detachment of troops, officers from the chief priests, the Pharisees. All are arrayed there, all are ready to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. They're there for that purpose. Judas has fulfilled his commitment. He has identified the Lord. The Lord has acknowledged who he is. And the next thing that happens is Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father hath given me? You know, we sometimes kind of forget that, what he did. Do you know that he fully intended to defend the Lord to his death? He wasn't monkeying around. He wasn't just talking. A fisherman wearing a belt and a sword. He came there to defend the Lord if necessary. And he was no coward. And he wasn't he didn't have any fear of even all of this array of people that came there to arrest the Lord. Out came that sword. He's ready. He's ready for a fight. And I think that was a sharp sword because whack, if he'd have caught his neck, his head might have come off. But now the Lord tells him to put up the sword. What Peter had declared he would do, do you get the picture? He has indeed fulfilled what he said he would do. Where are the other disciples? There's no mention of them. They probably were there around or else they had fled. Peter has kept his word. But now we're going to enter into that part of it that singles him out as being someone that the only thing we can remember, he denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. How do you think you would have felt if you had fulfilled what you said you were going to do? I'll defend you, Lord, unto death. And he came to do that, and he would have done that. If they wanted to fight, and if they wanted to have it right there in the garden, so be it. You'll do whatever he thinks is necessary to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it's not going to work out that way. Let's drop down to verse 17. Peter, of course, he goes with the others. The troops and all the others, they take the Lord Jesus. They go before Annas. And there our Lord is being interrogated. And when Peter comes in, the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of these man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." He said, "Well, he told a lie." I'll give him credit for one thing. He was, at that point in time, I think he's kind of confused. I'm beginning to wonder what's going on here. The servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I have said, and indeed they know what I said." Of course, then they made that accusation of him as having committed blasphemy. And then we come to Peter's, the last part of Peter's denial. You go down to verse 24. And now, since the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, therefore. They said to him, "You are not also one of the disciples, are you?" He denied and said, "I am not." Then one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, and he said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. So we have a fulfillment of what our Lord said would happen, and it happened just exactly the way he said it would happen. Three denials, and now the rooster crows, and Peter has been remembered all these years as someone that denied the Lord. It was a learning experience for him. There's no question about that. Do you think during that period of time his love and affection for the Lord Jesus Christ changed one bit? I don't. I hasten to say, I don't think for a moment. The reason I carried you to that point where he pulled the sword and established in your mind that that man was ready to fight and defend the Lord Jesus Christ to death, if that's the way it happened. But the whole picture changed. A whole new set of circumstances. And some of us might say, well, what would have happened had he said, "Yes, I'm one of his disciples"? Would they have taken him and crucified him too? We don't know. The Lord had already, he foreknew, he is omniscient, he knew all, he knew exactly what Peter was going to do, and he knew the outcome. But now we come to this encounter that the Lord Jesus has with Peter, and we're going to look at this questioning and the replies and see what we can gather out of this whole thing. Verse 15 says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And the Lord Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" It's quite interesting here that these two words that are used in this passage, if you don't have one of those Vines New Testament Greek dictionaries, you need to have one, because most of us that don't know any Greek or Hebrew, a lot of these things we would never know if we didn't have one and we were able to get a proper definition of these words. The word that is used for love on the three occasions by both Peter and the Lord Jesus, they're different. The word that our Lord used in his first two questions to Peter was agape. Agape love is something that we have an acquaintance with through knowing the Lord. We know what agape love is all about in that God loves us. And God's love is sacrificial. God's love has no flaws in it. What we sometimes call love, we make a mockery of it. It's not anything like agape love. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in addressing Peter, he says, "Do you, agape, love me? Do you love me sacrificially in that you would give yourself for me?" Well, the strange thing about it is that it seems that Peter is in perfect agreement with the Lord for exposing what happened in his denial. He responds with a word that is less than agape love. It's no more than a strong affection for someone. So he says to the Lord, after the Lord Jesus asked him, "Do you love me more than these?" And he's talking about the boast that he made. The others, they may love you, but I love you more than all of them put together. So you see, he's made a judgment call upon the love of somebody else for the Lord, which you shouldn't do. You don't know what your brother and sister in Christ, they may have a far deeper love and devotion to the Lord than you have in your own heart. So we don't talk that way. We don't. That's a boast. That's just not Christ-like to consider yourself as being so superior to others in your love and devotion for the Lord. What is it in that verse in Jeremiah? The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Do we really know our own heart regarding our true devotion and love for Christ? I like to think we're all working on it. We seek to improve. I want to do better, Lord. But Peter doesn't respond with that love. He begins to sense the very seriousness of this conversation, and he's not about to commit himself like he did at the outset. He could have said, Lord, I like you. I really like you, Lord. I have a strong affection in my soul for you, but he interjects something that you may not note the significance of it. He says, I know that you know. Now, what does that tell you? He recognizes that the Lord Jesus Christ is omniscient. He recognizes that the Lord Jesus knows what's in his heart, knows what's in everybody's heart. Remember, it's Peter that said, in identifying the Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord told him, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. God in heaven, by his Spirit, revealed unto you just who I really am. So Peter is knowledgeable far beyond, perhaps, what some of the other disciples may claim to knowledge of our Lord. But in this case, I think it's very significant that he brings to our attention in this dialogue between the two of them, you are omniscient, you know everything. You know that sometimes if you're not careful, when you're telling the Lord about something, you try to explain it to him. Have you ever done that? I'll have to explain this to you, Lord, like he didn't know. He knows all. It seems that it seems silly. That I would think. But God wants us. Our God wants us to tell him all. So in this case, Peter, using that word that just speaks of a real loyalty and affection for the Lord Jesus, he said, but you know all. And the Lord says, well, feed my lamb. And you know what that tells me? I think the Lord Jesus, his confidence in Peter was completely restored. You know, here's a man, he's a fisherman. I don't think he'd done any shepherding before. But the Lord has assigned him some awesome responsibility. Sheep, lambs are identified as being a part of the church, the body of Christ. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Here he has chosen Peter to be an under-shepherd with some awesome responsibility to feed and care for lambs who require a lot of attention. You know, the Lord trusted Peter. He had a deep respect for Peter. Feed my lambs. I'm assigning you some responsibility. I'm commissioning you. You're going to be a shepherd of the sheep. And then he comes at him with another question. Second time. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Same word, agape love. He said to him, yes, Lord. You know. I know that you know. that I love you. Tend my sheep. He's broadened his confidence and his trust in Peter. This is the man that sometimes is put to ridicule because he denied the Lord. Thank God he learned from his experience, although he was a failure. You know, when you see somebody, they stumble and fall, and they get up, and they rise above what happened, we ought to praise them for it, and thank God that they've been restored. But you know, among God's people sometimes, you just keep them there. That's all the things they can remember. You stumbled, you fell, you fell by the wayside, you did this, you did that. The Lord Jesus wouldn't do that. He takes this man who had really, in the light of what had happened there and the opportunity he had to identify himself as being a disciple, I kind of think he was confused by it all. I told you, don't you ever think for a moment he didn't come ready to fight and to defend the Lord. But a lot of times we have it cataloged in our mind, Peter denied the Lord. Yes, he did. But he had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. He acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about him, his heart, and where he stood right then with the Lord. Lord, I have a strong affection in my soul for you. You know, Lord, whether I love you or not. You know what I like to think? I believe he really loved the Lord. He didn't say so, but I believe had you asked and had an interview with the Lord Jesus, do you think this fella had recovered enough that you would characterize his feelings toward you as being agape love? I believe the Lord would have said yes. I believe he would have said yes. You see, that room for improvement, that room for enlarging upon this. But the final statement in this thing is one that it just marks out something again that is so significant here. The third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because said to him the third time, do you love me? Well, what grieved him was that the Lord used the same word he'd been using. He didn't use agape. He said, Peter, do you really like me? Do you really have a strong affection for me? And that hurt Peter. It grieved him in his soul. That's why I arrived at the thought in my own mind and soul, and I'm going to believe it. I believe he really loved the Lord. I believe he really loved the Lord. And there's some of God's people that have fallen by the wayside. There's some of God's people that have done some awful things. But they have recovered. They have confessed their sin and forsaken their sin. And the Lord could ask them, do you really love me? They might be reluctant to say, I have a strong affection. But I believe they have recovered to the point that their love and devotion for the Lord is stronger than it's ever been before. And I believe that the Lord is well pleased with that. That's a wonderful, wonderful victory for God. This is a victory for God. Feed my sheep. The man is commissioned, given by the Lord, some very, very important assignment. Take care of the family of God. And I believe that a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another the same way I have loved you and given myself for you. I think this is all born out in this. And it was just a blessing to me to kind of research that a little bit and look into it. And if you've ever criticized Peter in the past, don't do it anymore. He was restored. And the Lord was well pleased with him. And he commissioned him. You know, I can't stop that. But if you know someone that has fallen away from the Lord, you know someone that has really gotten in deep into the world again, and they've been restored, forget about the past and think about what they are right now as restored members of the body of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I would attach to their experience value in that they love the Lord like they never loved Him before. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus, and we thank Thee for what we have experienced in life. Many, many mistakes we've made, Lord, and we confess we have learned, and we have recovered. Thank God for recovery. Peter recovered, Lord. Anything that was lost, he recovered it. And our blessed Lord, He put His approval upon Peter. He commissioned Peter, gave him a high office, one of caring for His dear blood-bought children. Lord, give us a good prayer meeting together tonight and bring to our attention all those things that we should pray for, all of those things that indeed are right in the center of Your will, for all that we cry out to Thee for. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen.